Well, it is good to see everybody who's out with us this morning, especially if you're visiting. And as Brother Jim said, we do have some who are visiting. We're so very glad you've sought us out this morning and that you've joined us to worship God. I want to encourage everybody this morning to pick up a Bible and follow along with the things that we'll have to say. We're going to be continuing this morning our series on heaven. And what we've been doing is not just talking about heaven itself. In fact, after the first sermon, you could say we haven't actually said a great deal about the location, the place, however you want to describe it, about heaven. But we've been talking about the things required to get there. What that takes, what it means, and how we go about doing it, the journey to heaven. Now, we're going to be, pretty soon, Lord willing, painting a picture. Painting a picture of heaven. We're going to be looking at how the Bible describes it. And that'll be a wonderful, wonderful thing when we look at the splendor and the wonder and the awesome, awesome glory of heaven that will be ours. But before we do that, we want to make sure the promise of heaven is actually a promise to us, which means we've got to be a certain type of person. And in the sermon this morning, we want to continue on with this theme, with this idea. This morning, we want to talk about being conformed to the image of Christ. I don't know if you've ever really thought about this before, but with all the paintings and all the sculptures that exist in this world, from centuries ago up until today, that are supposed to depict Jesus Christ, wouldn't you think there is a master portrait or a master sculpture that actually does depict the real Jesus Christ, what He actually looked like, that all of the artisans are working off of? Wouldn't you think one would be out there somewhere? Now, the truth of the matter is, they're not. Not one. And does that seem a little bit strange to you when you really think about it? For centuries, man has painted or sketched or sculpted the people who have shaped this world. The most important people. You go through art museums today and more paintings are of people than anything else. Important people. People who are famous. People who are influential. People who have accomplished things. You go through museums and often you see little portraits, little pictures of individual scientists and those who have discovered newer fields of study or advanced certain fields of study. Jesus Christ? Nothing. Nothing. Do you find that odd? Well, I guess if you look at it from a human perspective and just consider it is in the nature of man to want to put someone's image in stone or on canvas, then maybe, yeah, you'd say that does really seem strange, doesn't it? But when you view it from the perspective of God, it's not strange at all. When you consider God's purpose, His plan from the very beginning, it was not for people to look at a sheet of canvas or a sketch on a pad. It was not God's plan for people to look at a stone or marble statue that looked like the physical Jesus. His plan from the very beginning was for people to be able to look at His disciples and see Jesus there. I want you to turn your Bibles with me, if you will, to a couple of passages here. Let's start by going to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. And from there, we'll go over to Romans 13 and verse 4. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Turn a few pages back in your Bible over to Romans chapter 13. Look and see what verse 14 says. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. The passage says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." We're speaking to somebody, trying to reach somebody, and they say, "If only I could see Jesus." They should see Him in us. The way that we live, the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we speak, the way we interact, the things that we do. They should see Him in us. These days when, I say these days, it's probably been happening forever, when there's a newborn baby, what do people like to do? Like to look for the resemblance, right? We start to talk about their eyes and their ears and their lips and their cheekbones, their forehead, and we like to say, "Well, that baby looks just like this relative, or looks like the mom, or looks like the dad." I'll be honest with you. To me, babies only ever resemble other babies. It's when they get older, it's when they start to mature, that I think you see the family resemblance, and you see it physically, you see it in temperament. Well, it's very similar when it comes to children of God. At first, that newborn Christian, he's got a long way to go to really grow up and be exactly what God wants him to be. Now, he's put on Christ. He or she has, and that's the essential first step. But it's a first step. They got to grow. They got to study. They got to be committed. They've got to be convicted. And as time goes on, and if they remain those things, what do? Remember Ephesians 4 and verse 13? They put on the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that's what it's all about. The fullness of Christ. We have to look like our Lord, brother. We have to look like our Lord. How do we conform to the image of Christ? We do it by copy. When I was younger, I was a sports fanatic. Just absolutely devoted to sports. My dad used to take Sports Illustrated when I was living in the house. And when he was done, he'd give it to me. And I'd take a pair of scissors and I'd cut out all my favorite athletes and I'd tape them up carefully on my wall. I had a whole wall covered with pictures from Sports Illustrated. Just absolutely covered with it. Those were my heroes. I wanted to be like them. I tried to be like them. My friends and I, and I chose friends who were just as devoted to sports as I was. My friends and I, we talked about our favorite athletes by first names. It's like we knew them. I wanted to glide through the air, brethren. I wanted to be like Mike. I wanted to shoot that ball like Larry. I wanted to throw the football like Boomer. I wanted to catch the football like Jerry. I wanted to hit like Pete. I wanted to field the ball like Barry. That's what I wanted. And I tried to copy them. Now, obviously, I couldn't do it. But I tried. I tried. I don't want to be like any of them anymore. Couldn't care less about being like them. You know who I want to be like? I want to be like Jesus. And here's the incredible thing, brother. Michael Jordan was a great basketball player. Barry Larkin's in the Hall of Fame now. Those guys were good at their sports. We're talking about God become flesh in Jesus Christ. And we can't be like those other guys. They had certain skills and talents that we just don't possess. Is it not incredible? We can be like Jesus. That's the implication in the new birth. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's read verse 49. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49. First Corinthians 15 and verse 49 says this, "Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven." Turn your Bibles a few pages ahead here. Go over to Colossians chapter 3. Let's read verses 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. This passage says this, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self," now notice this, "which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator." Now, the new man's Creator, that's the one being spoken of here. And Paul says, it's renewed in knowledge. Knowing and understanding who that Creator is. Now, here's the thing, brethren. The only way to truly be like someone is to know everything there is to know about that person. And that's the way that it is with Jesus. We're going through John's Gospel in the auditorium right now. As you go through it, you're going to think about things that you've not thought of before. That's one of the wonderful things about gathering together with brethren and studying God's Word, just hearing other people's thoughts, what they've arrived at through the fruits of their own study and their own thinking. But I do want to say this, brethren. As we're reading through the events and the accounts, there's nothing there that we should not know happened. There's not a word that we should not know Jesus said. Not an act that we should not know our Lord performed. Not a teaching that we should not know our Lord taught. In other words, nothing in the Gospels should come as a surprise to us in the sense that, why, I didn't even know that was there. Particularly for those of us who have been Christians for years, it's our job to know that it's there. Now, our knowledge and understanding can grow and increase. But if we would be like our Lord, we've got to know everything there is to know about our Lord, everything that's been recorded. And I'll tell you something, brethren, Sunday and Wednesday won't cut it. Sunday and Wednesday won't get it done. This is a daily endeavor that we're talking about here. It's just something that we put our hearts, our souls into every single day. We've got to study His words, brethren. We've got to study His deeds. We've got to study His actions. We've got to study His teaching. We've got to study His mindset. Study His attitude. Study His determination and His commitment to His Father. And when I say study these things, I don't simply mean read about them and then just go on to the next thing. I mean read it and think about it. Read it and truly consider it. Read it and put our efforts, our hearts and our minds into being that. I'll tell you, I think if as many Christians would put as much effort and thought and time into being like Christ that they put into talking about politics, talking about social issues, direct it here. I think we might very well turn the world upside down again. I really do. And that's what we're being called upon to do. To know our Lord so well that in any situation or circumstance, our response would be His response. Our attitude would be His attitude. That's been God's plan from the very beginning. I wonder, brethren, let me get this thing off here. I wonder how many consider themselves Christians, call themselves Christians, say, praise the Lord, and I love Jesus, and all of those different things, and yet rarely, if ever, take the time to open up the Word and to inform themselves about what He was really like, about what He said, what He taught, and how He behaved. I'll say it again, brethren. Sunday and Wednesday won't get it. This is a daily thing. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, to a couple of passages. Let's start in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Last verse in 2 Peter. It says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Grow in it. Grow in it. When do we ever find a passage, brethren, where our Lord urges us, grow in your knowledge of the political climate. Grow in your knowledge of social issues. Grow in your knowledge of the great sports, the athletes, the singers, the entertainers. Grow in your knowledge of all these things. When did our Lord ever say that? Be aware of that stuff, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He said. Turn over to Luke 6 and verse 40. Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. Luke 6 and verse 40. Now just listen to the words here, brethren. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Are you like your teacher? Are you like the Christ? I've said it a few times. I'm going to say it again. That has been God's plan. That has been His purpose from the very beginning. I didn't put the verse up here. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 with me, if you will. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. I want to read, starting in verse 28. Romans chapter 8. Actually, let's move down to 29. Let's read Romans 8, 29 and 30. And I want really hear these words. It says, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." If we don't look like Jesus, we won't be saved. If we don't look like Jesus, we will not see heaven. That's what this says. "For those whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified." Who are those ones who are justified? Who are those ones who are glorified in the ultimate sense, will enjoy the glory of heaven? It's only one group of people, brethren. He's only talking about one group of people. Those conformed to the image of His Son. That's it. That's it. Now, as we talk about going through this conforming process, perhaps the most effective means of transformation is when we're going through periods of difficulty and trial. My dad used to always, when he was preaching, he would always use the expression, that's when the rubber meets the road. That's when it gets real, so to speak. That's when we find out, are we making spiritual progress? Are we growing? Or are we not? It's through trials. It's through those difficult times. And when those trials come, we have the perfect example to get through them. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read verses 21 through 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. The passage says this: for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Think about that last part. By his wounds you have been healed. The very act that makes it possible for us to even have this series on heaven. The act that makes it possible for us to even be talking about conforming to the image of Christ. That act was one of terrible pain, trial, suffering for our Lord who went through it. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 2. Let's read verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. The passage says this: for it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect or complete through suffering. None of us likes to suffer. None of us enjoys the suffering experience. No normal person does, but saints are willing to go through it. Why? Because he went through it. Because he went through it. Satan has been devastatingly effective at convincing so many that faithful Christians should never have to experience trials, should never have to suffer at all. It's been devastatingly effective at convincing people of that. The truth of the matter is, brethren, if those folks would just pick up this book, would just read what's here, I think they would learn this lesson. We are never more Christ-like than when we are suffering for righteousness' sake. We are never more like Him than when that is happening. Now, we talked about in the class this morning, and I know many were in other classes and other parts of the building, but we talked in the class this morning, there are Christians in the world today. You see them on the news every day if you look at the right news sites. Christians who are being killed every day around this world. Now, many of them, no doubt, have not actually done the things necessary to become a Christian, but perhaps some have. And every day they're being killed. Nothing has changed from what we read here to now. Now, we don't see it much in this country.
Boy, but we got brethren around this world who do. And they are going through it now. Well, what trials might we face here? Well, this is going to be ostracized. We're going to be ostracized sometimes. I think we've all seen that. We're going to have those that we used to run around with and do things with that aren't going to understand the change in our lives, and they're going to ridicule us for it. We may have family members who are just ungodly individuals, and they don't like the change they see in us. There may be some tension there. We're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to stay true? Am I going to stay faithful? Or am I going to compromise? Am I going to change here? Am I going to back a little bit further away from the Lord, get a little bit closer to those who are not faithful to Him? We've got to make that choice. And I pray that we'll make the right one. Brethren, understand this. And I know it's up here, but I'm going to say it again. We are never more like Christ than when we are suffering for righteousness' sake. I want you to look over at Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. It's really verse 10 that I want us to note, but we're going to start in verse 7. We're going to see what Paul says to get to that point. He says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." Now notice what he says here. "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Now how many times, brethren, how many times when we do face those situations, where there is some form of persecution or suffering aimed our direction because of our faith in Christ, how many times do we think to ourselves, "Now's an opportunity, a chance for me to share in His sufferings, to experience the sort of things that He experienced. Why should I be exempt from that? Why should my Lord have to suffer incredibly difficult, painful things just to make heaven possible for me? And I not have to experience any difficulty at all in this life? Who in the world do I think I am? Why should I be exempt from what He did not exempt Himself from?" There's Paul. Paul crazy? Is he just a glutton for punishment? No. No, Paul understood persecution and suffering. It's the cost of discipleship. At least part of it. And brethren, it's a gate through which every single Christian on their way to heaven must pass. And when the time does come, and we do face those moments, we have a perfect example to help us get through. Do you remember when you were younger and you played make-believe? My boys run through the house pretending to be Batman or Spider-Man or the Incredible Hulk. They don't know I beat them to that 30 years ago. You know what you can't pretend to be? You can't pretend to be a faithful Christian. You just can't do it. Followers of Christ really are followers of Christ, or they're nothing at all. There is no middle ground there. You know where we get our English word hypocrite? From the Greek word hypocrite. All they did was just bring over a Greek word into the English language. Got a little bit lazy there, perhaps, in the translation. We are told that if the word were actually translated rather than transliterated,
it would almost certainly be translated actor. Think of stage actors. They wear masks. They wear costumes. They pretend to be somebody that they're not. Now, for the stage actor, oh, that's their job. That's what they're up there to do. For us, for Christians, it's just not going to work that way. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. We're going to see Jesus talking to a specific group of actors here, hypocrites. And I want you to notice what he says about them. Matthew 23 and verse 37. Should be verse 27. Matthew 23, 27. This is what it says. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness." What a way to describe someone. That's what he said those spiritual hypocrites were like. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The passage says this, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." One of the things that Christians are called upon to put away is acting, pretending, hypocrisy. And we're told, be like that newborn infant. One of the first impulses of that newborn infant is food. It is hungry. It is starving. And it's going to let everyone around know it is starving. And that child will not be satisfied until it has food. That's the way, brethren, we are called upon to approach the Scriptures. To have that sort of hunger. Why is this so important? This is why it's so important. Heaven is not a masquerade. It's not what it is. People wearing masks, pretending to be good when they're not really good, pretending to be faithful when they're not really faithful, will have no place there. It's not a masquerade, brethren. Only people who are saints, who are disciples, are going to enter those gates. Only those who are truly devoted. So are you truly devoted? This transformation that we're talking about, it's not going to be completed in this life. Turn your Bibles to 1 John 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. The passage says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." We just don't know for certain what our bodies are going to be like, what they're going to look like, what they're going to feel like. We do know a few things, though. They will be incorruptible. They will be immortal. The last verse we're going to be looking at this morning, the last passage, comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's read 47 through 53, or 55 rather. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 47 through 55. The passage says this, "The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed.
For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on the immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? I have read books, brethren, hundreds of pages, discussing the bodies described in those few verses. Speculating. And I want to tell you that entirely misses the point. Here's the point. We will be like Him. And that's what it's all about. Finally and forever, we will have achieved ultimate conformity to the image of His Son. I want to ask you, brethren, is there a yearning in you for that right now? That yearning grows in me with each passing day. I consider the current political climate. I consider the current social climate. I consider the moments where we have to wait for doctor's appointments just afraid of what you're going to hear. And I just want to go home. Don't you? One day. What a thought. One day. We are going to look upon Him as He really is. We are going to see Him face to face. And we will be like Him. Now that transformation is in progress now. But it will be completed in heaven. And we will be surrounded by those who have made the same transformation. We will be with our Lord. We will be with our God. Forever. And I can't wait. If this were the day when the trumpet sounded, this was your last day here on the earth, do you have that hope? I hope that you do. But if you don't, you can get it right now. If you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ. If you're willing to believe in Him, you're willing to believe what He taught, then you can become a Christian. You can begin the conforming process, the transforming process. You can do it now. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Him as Lord. And be baptized in water to have your sins washed clean. All things are ready this morning. And I'll tell you this. He is ready to receive you now. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the call of the gospel, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.